as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
Hi, I want to welcome Michelle Steiner to the show. Michelle, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Monica. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So, Michelle, tell us, you have a lot to share in the education community, paraeducation, and then also in the disability areas. And I was wondering if you could share your story of how you got to this point of sharing knowledge and wisdom and inspiration with others.
I would love to. Well, I was diagnosed with having a learning disability whenever I was in kindergarten. My kindergarten teacher could see that I was really struggling in the classroom. I had difficulty with counting dot-to-dot pages, and I also struggled to tie my shoes, and just academically, I wasn't doing very well. And she recommended to my parents that I get tested for having a learning disability. And it was no surprise that I certainly indeed have one. I can remember it was the one thing that they knew at that time was I was not going to be a mathematician when I was 5 or 6. They did not give a specific name for it. I wasn't diagnosed with dyscalculia at that time, but we did, it was more of an umbrella term, but we did know math was not going to be my friend. And I can remember I had to repeat kindergarten the following year at a different school in our district. And I also began to receive specialty instruction where we would learn how to, in all areas, I learned how to read, to write. We attempted to do math. And I also began to receive accommodations as well. That carried me through my years of school. I had the test read aloud to me, and I also had extended test time. I also struggled socially in school because I went to a very small school district where I couldn't hide. I couldn't blend in when I went to learning support for classes or for sports. And because I didn't fit in, it really started early with the bullying and the picking on me. When I was a young kid, it was more like, well, you're not my friend, or you're not, I don't want to play with you, or you're not invited to my birthday party. When I became a teenager, it got far worse. Academically, school got a lot easier for me as I progressed. I was started to be able to be in regular ed classes for science, social studies, and reading. And I still had those supports, and that was important. And by the time I was in high school, I was in all regular ed classes except for math. That never worked out very well. They put me even in the most basic class and a resource room so I could still continue to get a lot of that support that I needed. It got a lot easier. My grades improved. I was on honor roll, and it was that part got a lot easier for me. What got more difficult, as I said before, was the social atmosphere. I can just remember the threats increased, and it became really hard to fit in because a lot of the groups were more defined, and I just didn't feel like I fit in anywhere, and it was really difficult. Luckily, I found a group outside of my school district that was an arts group. And I was able to go and join their newsletter and do some other things. And these were kids outside of my school district. So I was able to start over again. And I didn't carry that reputation that I had that followed me as a young child. When that group stopped meeting, I found an adult writing group. And 20 some years later, we still meet today. And they got to see me grow as a writer and as a person. And I just can't say enough nice things about them. I found my tribe. One of the things that was really hard, though, right before I was to graduate was what was I going to do with the rest of my life? I knew that I wanted to go to college, but I was a little hesitant about that because I knew with my math difficulties, it was going to be a challenge. And I just wondered, well, how am I going to do in my other classes? Because I was being really successful with having a lot of the supports. I was not alone in that worry. I had a learning support teacher who thought I couldn't handle college because of my disability. And she suggested a trade school. And just nothing that really interested me. But luckily, I got involved with an agency that provided support for adults that have disabilities. They would pay for college if you qualified. They would help out with job assistance. And the only catch was I had to get tested for having a learning disability all over again to get the services. And they've been a great test taker. So I went in for the psych eval. The psychiatrist told me I would most likely not go beyond a community college. And just hearing that was so sad to me because I was already afraid. And I just wondered, could I really do it? When I got to community college, I faced more stigma. I was told that I'd have limited job choices, and there was such a stigma around disability accommodations. I can remember people thought they were cheating or giving me an unfair advantage, and I thought, well, I don't want to be in that category, so I didn't use them, and that was a big mistake. My grades dropped. Luckily, I got in contact with a professor who I was really struggling in her class, and she said, why don't we at least get you extended test time? And once I did that, I was able to pass her class. I did not do well in her class. And I was also able to continue to do better in my other classes. And I graduated with an associate's degree in early childhood education. I moved out on my own, which was really important to me to have that independence because I'm not able to drive because of my disability. And I was working in some centers with children, loved it, loved having my independence. But I think one of the things I wanted was a lot more for myself. And for financial reasons, I had to move back in with my parents. And I just wondered, okay, well, what's the next thing? And I thought this is the time to just give going to university a try. And I found the right program that had the least amount of math and science possible. It had disability accommodations, and I was able to go back and I used all the accommodations and I found the right program and I advocated for myself. And I was able to graduate from university just with a bachelor's degree, despite being told I couldn't do it. And I was able to do it debt-free, which was really nice. After school, it took me a while to find the right job. As a paraeducator, I've had some other places that said, oh, we're disability friendly, and they didn't turn out to be that way at all. And I've been with the school for about over 13 years. And I also got married during that time. That was a total surprise because I had a lot of bad relationships and I had some people telling me, oh, you may not find someone because you have a disability. Well, I did end up doing that. And I also started to get write about my learning disability. My adult writing group said, you should really write about having a disability. And I was really hesitant about that. I thought, oh, that's too personal. And I wrote bad poetry and some other things I wouldn't want to read today. But when my husband and I bought our house, I couldn't unlock the door. And that encouraged me to go to a prompt that they have at the Mighty about what's a seemingly easy task for other people, but it's really hard for you with your disability. During that time, they found out I had limited hand dexterity, and I thought, I'm going to write about this. And I got it published. And once it was published, I got a really good response, and that encouraged me to write other articles. And it also encouraged me to start my own blog. And also, I started to develop a love for photography. I started taking pictures of the walks that I get to go on because I'm not able to drive, and I'll be in the car with my husband and I'll be able to pick up on details that others will miss. I'll say, did you see that? And he'll be like, oh no, I'm focused on the road. And I get a chance to go back and take a picture of the flower. And people will say that I bring out those details that they would miss, and they love the photography. And I just think it's one of those things. If I wasn't out there on that walk, I would miss that shot of the flower or something else that was so beautiful. And I just try, and I've incorporated them on my store, on my blog, and I just try to help other people that have disabilities to be encouraged, to be empowered, and to educate people as well.
What a story of resilience.
Yeah.
Everyone told you no your whole life, and you said, oh, but wait.
Yes.
I have another plan, and I'm not gonna listen to you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you must be really so proud of yourself. I can just feel your joy and your resilience. So when were you were diagnosed with a learning disability in, was it elementary school?
Yes. My preschool teacher saw something was going on even before I went into school, but my kindergarten teacher picked up that there definitely was something that was happening.
Mm, right. And because of that experience, you found work in the school system as a paraeducator. How do you like doing that?
I love being able to give back. I find it very rewarding. I think a lot of times I can understand a lot of the experiences that my students are going through. Sometimes it's like hearing and recording myself at that age. I hate my learning disability. I hate having this. And I get that chance to tell them that it's not a bad thing to have a disability. And sometimes they get to see me because my disability didn't go away, obviously. So if we get in, if math comes up, I am unable to help the kids with that. And I do tell them a lot of times, I said, I'm really sorry, I can't help you with math. And it's not anything to really apologize about. And I get to tell them it's because I have a math disability. And I think sometimes that's okay to show that sometimes people have disabilities, adults have things that they struggle with. And it's not, you know, saying you have a disability isn't a bad thing or isn't a dirty word.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. And it sounds like the school that you're working for now is really supportive of you.
Yes.
And has, mm-hmm. I mean, you've been there for what you said, like 13 years.
Yes, I have been.
Yeah. So they must love you.
No.
but also, you know, it sounds like they have a really good support network. So that's really helpful. And it sounds like a really good place.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and you also mentioned that you went through a lot of bullying, and
yes.
I just wanted to talk about that a little bit because I also went through that when I was in elementary school, and it affected me. I have a lot of trauma around that, and it affected me my whole life. And I just want to, I think there's a lot more information out now mm-hmm. about school bullying than there was, you know, in decades past, where teachers would look the other way because they didn't yes. know how to deal with it. At least our educators now are more informed, and we have a lot more resources out to help kids. But, you know, and I know there are organizations out there mm-hmm. that if anyone's looking for support around that. Do you have any resources that you could recommend that maybe you've encountered as an educator?
Well, a lot of the things, some good ones that our school does, we do searching for a starfish in the beginning. They do a lot of that where they talk about bullying and some team building. Some of that's a really a good place to look for. I also think that even with just disability things, there's a lot more information there was when I was a kid. And I think sometimes having that is powerful. I was lucky to have parents who explained it to me, but a lot of kids don't have that. So I think that there's places, the National Learning Disability Association has a lot of things with that. And also understood.com has a lot of things that they can point, like with that information. Our school also does a Best Buddies program with students, mainly with intellectual disabilities, where they'll pair them up with peers who don't have that type of disability, and they'll have activities with them. I haven't participated much in that myself, but I think it's a great program to just have that friendship and that social interaction between peers in the school. I think that's just so key.
Yeah, peer support is really very helpful with that sort of thing. I remember when some of my kids were in high school, they had peer support groups, like the seniors would help the freshmen and upperclassmen would help the entering freshmen and that sort of thing. And some other marginalized groups. But I think that's really, that makes for a really good school district when you have that sort of thing going on.
Yes.
It's very supportive. Yeah,
definitely.
So on your blog, so what's the name of your blog?
My blog's name is Michelle's Mission.
Okay. And what kind of things do you cover or write about?
I talk about life with a learning disability, and I try to use a lot of nature analogies with that as well. I try to, sometimes I might talk about the process of accepting my disability is like a flower that's blooming. And I just try to give people straightforward information about learning disabilities and just my experience with that.
Nice. And your photography, when did you start taking pictures?
I actually started taking pictures. I was at a family wedding years ago, and there was these pictures of, there was a cemetery we went to, and I took a picture of an angel, and I had a friend that was looking at my pictures that was rather particular. She said, "Wow, these are really good." So I thought, oh, she likes them. They must be pretty good. And I entered them into a show, and I got honorable mention. But even before that, I just find it amazing that there was other people in my life that could see this talent before I could. I took a picture at prom, and there was a tree at the venue that I was at. And a lot of people, all my peers, were like, "Well, why'd you take that picture of a tree?" And I was showing the pictures to one of the older women in my writing group. And she said, "Ah, this shows perspective." And it took me a couple decades before I got to that point where I was able to be able to take pictures and to have that and for that perspective to develop.
And you put these photographs on your products too, on your website.
Yes.
Right.
I have some journals. I have a mug, and I also have prints as well.
Right. You've got a little merch shop going.
Yes.
Things that I'd love to do. Oh, so many ideas. Well, yeah. And then you also told me before we started recording that you've got a conference coming up this summer. So tell us about that.
Sure. I have a disability transition conference that is coming up at the end of July. And I'm getting a chance to speak on how I transitioned from high school and how to make that into a successful one and some of the resources that are available. We have a lot of youth that are coming up to do that as well. And it's just it looks like it's going to be a great time where people can just come with that information and try to work together, because a lot of our students, they're going to be graduating, and most of them, they're going to have their disability. And I think it's really important to give them resources so they know how to be successful adults.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. So, and what's the name of the conference again, if there are any people listening, other educators out there that might be interested? Yeah.
No, I have to look this. Okay. It is our Community of Practice Transition Conference. And That'll be in state.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. That'll be in State College, PA.
In Pennsylvania. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. All right. So, So give us the recap on where people can learn and find out about you and get in touch with you if they are interested in learning more about what you have to offer.
Sure. You can find me at my blog, michellesmission.net.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for coming on and sharing your information and everything that you've been up to. It's been a pleasure getting to know you. I hope everyone has enjoyed this. I know I sure did.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Monica. It has certainly been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for listening today to another great episode. I sure enjoy hearing about these experiences, and I hope you do also. Be sure and like or follow this show by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience or story you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. See you in the next episode, friends. Have a great week.